Good morning. I think a good title for my lesson this morning would be Distracted. How kind of an insight into, I've been trying to figure out why I get lessons the way I do. Because at 9:21 this morning, I finally put the pen down and go, I think I got it. Well, that gives me 6 minutes to get to here. So, I don't like that particularly well. Because that leaves no time for practice. Second, well, I go over it many times, but not. Anyway. So, Matthew 22:37 says, I'll be reading out of the NIV today. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." And then I'm going to stop there. When was the last time you told God that you loved Him? This occurred to me just the other day. I was driving on a familiar road, no traffic around me, you know, just cruising. And I was praying, and it occurred to me that, when have I ever told God that I loved Him? And so I told God that I loved Him and all that, and then my phone starts ringing. And it's like, what occurred to me was, I'm talking to the supreme commander and creator of the universe. My phone rings, and I go, oh, wait a minute, I gotta get this. I wonder if I ever went back and finished that. God's still on call. distracted. Did I ever finish the prayer? And then we have the schedule, the church schedule, is what I'm talking about. The schedule. And I'm on the speak. That's the first thing. We get a new schedule. Happens kind of frequently. Keep moving things around, so I keep, where am I at? I don't look at anything but lessons. I can handle the other stuff. Lessons fill me with all kinds of anxiety and fear and dread and nervousness and probably lots of other adjectives you can think of. But anyway, so first thing I look for is I want to find out how many days I have to dread the next 3 months. So, here I am. So, what is the schedule? Schedule is a deadline, a point of failure. So, I have three options. First one is to fail to present. So, that's pretty much a lose-lose. I didn't put any effort out and didn't get any practice out of it or anything. So that's, I don't really consider that one. And then second one is to present a failure. That's kind of a lose-win. I think I do that about 50% of the time. Just a lesson that, why did I give that, you know, type thing. But almost always, I learn something from it. Almost, because I read a lot when I'm preparing for a lesson. I figure volume, if nothing else. Let's go for volume, if nothing else. And so I just read and read and read and read and read and read. Something's got to stick. Something's got to poke me. So just go through it. And then, so I almost always learn something. Whether I present it to you or not may not be what happens. And then some of my worst, what I think is the worst lessons I've ever given, somebody will come up to me afterwards and say, you know, I liked that, and that was something I needed. And it about floors me, and just makes me think, amazing, somebody got something out of that. So there's always that to hang on to. And then there's practice, practice, practice. That's one of the points I want to make this morning, is it's practice. And then the third option that I have for a lesson is to present a success, which is a win-win. I learn and you learn, and I'm happy and it's over. Or I assume you're happy. So it goes well. So what is the difference in these three options? The time, effort, and there's two big ones, but mostly it's attitude. Just how I go about it and how it's delivered, I guess. Not delivered, but we'll stick with delivered. So, this makes me think, do I love God? Yes, I love God. So this is God's word. So I spend time and effort on that, and that's a good thing. And God says, love me, or if you love me, love my people. And I was going to find a verse for that. If you read John, or 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, it's in there somewhere. That principle is in there. If you love God, then you're going to love His people. And we talked about that. Tim talked about that in his Lord's table. We talked about that in class, I believe, this morning. It's just the overriding principle of being a Christian. So, so a lesson is, so I get to talk about God, whom I love, to people I love, to edify and encourage. So why do I dread this? Why do I get so nervous and anxious about it? I mean, I was having a hard time concentrating on the Lord's table because I got this lesson's just on a continual loop through my head. And running and running and running and running and running, and I kept having to say, no, all right, focus on this. And then 2 seconds later, and then two, I just had to keep concentrate on the Lord's table, concentrate on the Lord's table. And so, anyway, that's what a lesson is I get to talk to you about God's Word, which is great material. I mean, you can't go too wrong talking about the Bible. I mean, even if I jam verses together that don't even make sense together, and it just doesn't flow, and it's all cobbled together, it's still God's Word, and it still may speak to somebody who needed to hear that one verse out of those 16 that didn't make any sense put together. So still, I can edify and encourage, and still screw it up. So much for total failure. It's just not going to happen. There's no such thing as a total failure when I'm up here, I guess. I'm hoping. So, A is, if I do a total failure up here, couple of you or one of you may give me some constructive criticism and how to improve or change or something along those lines. And next time, I can apply that and be better. Or B, you may just totally ignore me and just let me go to the basement and count the money and we'll be good. So, anyway. So, one of my points I wanted to stress in here was practice. God's Word is perfect, okay? This is, we got a great start, a great foundation right here. This is perfect. I am not. And so I'm not perfect in understanding and presenting or any part of this. I'm not going to do it perfectly. So that makes this practice, right? And also, you're sitting out there, and I think this is a big sticking point, is you're not perfect either. Because I'm here to edify you and encourage you, which describes deficiencies and things that are failures on your part. Because if you're perfect, I wouldn't need to edify you, I wouldn't need to encourage you, right? So that makes me feel a little better. Because I know you're not Olympic judges with your little scorecards, and when I get done, you're not going to flip up 0.0 or 10 or, you know, whatever. That isn't the point of you sitting out there and me being up here. I'm not doing a performance for you in that aspect. So, I'm up here, and you're out there, and you're wanting to hear what I've learned. Sometimes that's a lot, sometimes it's pretty small. But anyway, that's what this is. And here, I want to talk to you about practice. I've run into this with all over the place. Especially in Taekwondo, but in my work, I mean, it's just everywhere. Everybody thinks they should be able to do whatever I'm doing just as well as I do it because I've been doing it. Or, didn't say that right. Alright, we're going to stick with Taekwondo. I run the lower belts all the time. Oh, says, I just can't do that like you. Well, duh. I've been doing this for 10 years or whatever it is. And you've been doing it for 1 year. There's a little bit of difference there. No way you're going to be able to do it the same way I can do it. It's called practice. That's why we're here. We're practicing. We are putting what we know into action with the goal of getting to perfection. And it's going to take effort, time, and an attitude, a good attitude. And we're never going to reach perfect. Okay, that's just not going to happen. And we may be better than some, but we're never going to be as good as others. And that's just the way it is here. I mean, when I get up here, I'm not going to be Roger Elam stayed with us this weekend, but he went to Dean Avenue because he wanted to hear that guy, Josh Riggins, wanted to hear him speak. Well, he's going to be speaking twice today and all week, right? Okay. Well, if you want to kill me, just go ahead and do that to me, okay? Just have me speak probably twice, and you won't have to worry about me no more. So, anyway, and I've been speaking probably I don't know how old Josh is. I don't know when he started speaking, but I probably got him beat on that. But he's already exceeded me in performance and all that. So, see, there you have it, right there. He's quite a bit younger than me. Quite a lot... less time in than me, and still he surpassed me in skill. That's just the way life goes. I'm going to turn. I really haven't been using much scripture here. Galatians 6 and 6 for this here. I should have wrote it down because it's just small. But Galatians 6 and 6. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. So I had it. It left. This is like like taekwondo, I'm going to say. I teach somebody, and they learn it. All right, it doesn't have to be taekwondo. That's just where I see it the most vividly, I guess. I teach somebody, they take off with it, and they fail. They make mistakes. They don't get it done. They can't break the board, or they can't deliver the lesson, or they can't, you know, they're having difficulties with it. They're not going to be at the same level I am, but there's a possibility if they stick with it, they're going to pass me. They're going to go past me. So, that seemed clear this morning for some reason. But, anyway. So, you're not going to... There's different levels. I guess that's where I was going with it. I mean, we got people all over the board when it comes to levels. And we can't expect to all be at the same level and to all perform at the same level. So, relax and perform and let it fall where it will and then just go from there. Yeah, there's my point. Okay. So, distracted, yes. I'm so easily distracted. Boss's phone call, you know, which, that's the point, that's the story that got me thinking about it. But, so many things. I get distracted by life's needs and demands. I got a barn that needs some serious work on it, and that has been time-consuming beyond. I thought I'd be done by now, but I'm not. So anyway, and so I'm very thankful for the schedule that Charles makes, that Greg made before him, because it gives me. Do you think I'd be up here giving this lesson if it hadn't been for that piece of paper with my name on it? No. When would I have had time to get a lesson? You know, I'm too busy pounding nails into my barn and trying to keep life together and do all that. I wouldn't have studied. I wouldn't have been looking into this. I wouldn't be reflecting on why I act the way I do and all this crazy stuff. It just wouldn't happen because I'd be too busy putting one foot in front of the other. Be too busy to read the Bible regularly because that's a struggle. I have to fight to keep that spot open. And it's not even a particular spot. It's wherever I can squeeze it in. And I wouldn't read other books for improvement. The older I get, the lesser time I have to I know that was bad English, wrong English, however you say it. But the less time I have for reading, it just seems like I just read. I don't have time for that anymore. But I know that I need to take time to read because that's good for your brain and improvement. To sit down and study a particular topic on purpose, that's pretty rare in my life. And to pray as much. The schedule is good for that. It helps me. Help me, Lord. Help me. So, I definitely pray more when the schedule is around. So, naturally, I do not study. I'm not going to take the time to sit down and do that. So, that's not going to happen. So, before another distraction comes along, let's turn to Proverbs 23 and 12. This is the text for my lesson, which should be about over. Proverbs 23 and 12. All right? Yeah. 23:12. Apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. So, I was thinking about this. Applying, to me, if you apply a sticker to a piece of glass, or you apply, let's see, what other application could I use? Alright, my brain's not thinking about that right now. But if you apply yourself, you're making a specific, it's not happening by accident. You don't just pull the sticker, backing off the sticker and flinging at the window. Now, you take the window and you clean the bottom left-hand corner and you pull the sticker off and you get one side started and then, you know, people are going to be looking at this for a while. You don't want wrinkles in it and you don't want it going up at an angle. So you get it so it's going at a nice place. You stick the sticker on there. So, it's purposeful. It's done on purpose. I'm not being distracted and just throwing it on there. Same goes for my Bible study. Let's turn to... let's not turn. 1 Peter 1 and 10, part of the verse says... this is talking about prophets of old. They're searching intently and with the greatest care, trying to find. So they were studying these. They would get these bits and pieces from God. They were coded and hidden from them. But they would study them and look at them and search them and try and figure them out. Try to figure out when the Christ was coming is what they were talking about. When the grace was coming. And then Hebrews 11 and 6 says, He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. That doesn't sound like an accident. That doesn't sound like, oh, I tripped and fell in a hole and, there's Jesus. No. You search Him out. You go and find Him. Earnestly seek Him. And then Hebrews 12, 14 and 15, part of it says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God. That's a little bit of pressure. That's a little bit of schedule-like pressure. See to it that no one misses the grace of God. And 1 Timothy 5 and 10 is talking about widows and what widows the church was supposed to support. And part of the description was devoting herself to all kinds of good things. Devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. Good deeds. I don't know what I said the first time, but I don't remember saying deeds. But devoting. On purpose. And then 2 Timothy 2:15. I think I actually want to turn to that one. this has well, let's just read it. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." Well, by the time I get to the end of that verse, I'm getting anxious and worried and nervous again, because it says, if I'd quit losing my place here, who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Well, who in here does that perfectly? Nobody does that. So that's why the first part is on there. Do your best. Do your best. And then, so this is the practice. Do your best. Practice, practice, practice. And then this is the goal. One who handles the word. One who correctly handles the word of God does not need to be ashamed. That's the goal. And the do your best is the getting to that goal. The practice. Practicing. So, this is the this is what I need to do. This is what I do. If I do not apply on purpose, if I do not purposely read this. I go out of my way. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I go out of my way to read the Bible. I got several ways to trick myself into doing that. I get up a little bit earlier in the morning. Doesn't work real well. It's real easy to talk myself back into staying in bed. But if I can get out of the bed, then I got the time. Then I get in the kitchen, and then I go, all right, I made the effort, and I got out of bed. I'm at least going to do what I got out of bed to do, and so I'm going to read. So I read. That's one way to talk myself into it. The other way is I read to Cassidy. I figure, if I'm going to screw myself up, that's one thing, but I don't want to screw up my daughter, so I make sure and get her reading in. Isn't that weird? Or what? But anyway, so I read to her. And then sometimes I coerce, when I remember, I get Drew to read to me. So he's older, so I can do that. I can have him read to me, and then I can space off and get distracted while he reads. It doesn't always work the best. But anyway. And then, let's see. Another way is a schedule. I mark those down. And you can, my family can probably tell a week in advance of when I'm on the speak, because I start getting grumpy and short fused and irritated and that kind of stuff. And it doesn't always, it's not always that way, but I'd probably say 75% of the time. And so, and I like to start, I actually enjoy that anxiety and that worry. I know we're not supposed to do that, but I actually think it's constructive, because it forces me to start coming. I start writing things down. I start looking for that idea. And so I think possibly there's some good there in that. So if it's not for these things, I wouldn't do this. I would be totally carried away by distractions, and I would not have the purpose and follow through, and it just wouldn't get done. So, all right, the last point I want to leave with you is this is the other thing I do. Well, why pray? I used I've actually said this to myself. Why should I start a prayer? Because I'm driving, and I won't ever finish it anyway. And it just won't happen. It won't get done. So, pretty much, lately I've come up with the idea that I just better. Half a prayer is better than no prayer, I think. So, if you get the opportunity, I guess I'm looking in a mirror here. If you get the opportunity, and I gotta get over this perception that I have to do everything perfectly. That if I'm gonna sit down and read the Bible, then I gotta read the whole chapter, or the whole book, or you know, some large amount. One verse is better than no verse. Okay, and a half a prayer is better than no prayer, because if God doesn't receive it, say for some reason He can't receive the prayer without the ending, which is kind of a fear of mine, then it changes my attitude if it never gets to God, it still changes me. Okay, it still changes me because I'm spending time thinking about God, and we'll call it meditation instead of a prayer. So, even if it's worth doing, it's even worth doing poorly. So, do it partway and call it practice, and chalk it up to learning and getting closer to perfect. Okay. Those are my thoughts for this morning. Hopefully they were worth something. So, we'll offer the invitation this morning to anyone who knows they aren't doing it perfectly and want to do something. We can help you with that. So there's several options there. You could come forward as we stand and sing the closing song. But if you decide not to do that, and you still want to do something, then do something and contact somebody, a friend of yours, you know, somebody you feel comfortable with. Contact them and talk to them and get something going, because doing something is better than doing nothing. So, we'll stand and sing the closing song.